lose weight?
Yes.
I mean, you've lost a ton of weight, but I don't know how you're doing right now. You're putting it back on. Sometimes during the holidays, people put some back on.
I think I put a little bit back on, but I'm trying to get my... I'm doing my walking and everything.
Yeah.
That part of it, but it's tough.
Around here, I mean, I think people are putting on weight. Sal Haney has definitely put on weight. Peter Shapiro, my friend Peter Shapiro, has announced he wants to lose 30 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
A number of people that I know. I'm not going to mention anybody else. And I'm feeling my clothes are a little bit tight. I've stayed with the yoga. One of the problems is that cookies were overproduced this time. I mean, there's still cookies around now. Today, every day I come in and there's like a fresh... What are these?
Been in the newsroom?
Kwanzaa cookies or something? Why are there cookies
now?
Have
you been in there?
Yeah.
Well, it's just a lot of what's going on in the newsroom today. I guess Zach, this intern that Joe Fury had 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, who's that? I don't know that person.
Well, he was here in the morning.
I just called him intern.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he was in here today.
He calls all of his interns intern.
He comes back every once in a while. And he came in today, and his mother made all this stuff. So the whole bunch of that came in. Angelo Dias was telling me about it earlier. I didn't see it.
Well, let me just say this. You were an intern here like 3 or 4 years ago. Get over it, okay?
He's going to Penn State.
We don't need any more cookies.
And plus, I think Fury brought in a bunch of candy.
We don't need any more of this. We don't need any more
of that out at the front desk.
We don't need any more free food around here sitting out tempting us. It's over. There's no more holidays. Christmas is gone. New Year's is gone. Kwanzaa may still be happening for all I know, but it's a made-up holiday anyway. Everybody just needs to stop.
Wait a minute. Kwanzaa is a made-up holiday?
Yeah, it's like a made-up holiday. It's like the guy who made up Kwanzaa is still alive, you know. He gives interviews. it's not some ancient planting ritual. I mean, he based it on some Yoruba traditions and some Egyptian traditions. He smushed a whole bunch of things together, but it was like thought up by some guy. I mean, I'm not... It's fine. I don't have a problem with Kwanzaa.
You're not basically dumping on
Kwanzaa. I'm not dumping on Kwanzaa. And as a matter of fact, I mean, I often wish, you know, people... I'm very comfortable wishing people happy holidays, season greetings, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, or have a very, very Kung Fu Kwanzaa. Any of those things. I'm open to all traditions. But anyway, we don't need any more damn cookies, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need more candies. We need to lose some weight. Because I've put on a few pounds myself. I can feel a certain snugness in my waistline.
You know what really helps losing weight is living in a hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think it would be hard to control your food intake.
It's a little more difficult, although the spacious thing we have is like a two-bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
At the Residence Inn in Avon, where they're very nice people.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, I still pay the same rate. I'm not getting it for free, believe me, or anything like that. Or do I expect it? It's a little tricky, I think.
I would think it would be difficult. And by the way, according to the New York Times science section today, it's possible that most of these commercial weight loss programs don't work. Particularly the ones advertised on Rush.
there's those.
What's that Conestoga Cordislim? Do we have that on our shows?
What?
I don't know. I could think of the name. Cordislim is what it's called.
Oh, I don't know.
It's on Rush's show.
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Not only that, but Phil Hendry, I don't get that at all. Anyway,
what?
He does commercials for Cordislim, I think. On Rush's show, he talks about,
He has his own show, doesn't he?
I know, and he does commercials, and he has like a really funny show.
Does he have the same network as Rush?
I don't know. And he sucks up to Rush while he's doing the commercials, too.
That's not good.
Anyway. A new study published today finds little evidence that commercial weight loss programs are effective in helping people who drop excess pounds. Almost no rigorous studies of the programs have been carried out, the researchers report, and federal officials say that companies are often unwilling to conduct such studies, arguing that they are in the business of treatment, not research. Quote, in general, the industry has always been opposed to making outcomes disclosures, said Richard Cleland, who's something, Federal Trade Commission. So basically... You know, like Weight Watchers and all these other companies, they won't turn over their figures to the government, and they make all these claims, and nobody really knows whether they're true or not. But this study indicates that maybe they don't work that well, and they want to see more carefully controlled. Scientists want to see more carefully controlled studies that follow program participants over a couple of years and compare their success with that of non-participants. Now, I would say an exception to this And it's not because they're spending a dime on our show, for at least not for a really long time. It would be diminishing dimensions because they beat the hell out of you, and then they say, we could come back at any time. That's part of their treatment program, is that they say to you, even when you leave the program, they say, we're going to be watching you. You start putting on weight, we don't care whether you're paying us anymore.
And they'll show up at your house.
We just show up and just kick the tar right out of you.
Yep. Their program works, though.
It does work.
It really does work.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been on their program, but I've certainly seen it work. I've seen it work for a number of people in my life, and it does work. But, I mean, it's mainly because the participants are afraid of them. They're very attractive women who run this program.
Yes, they certainly are.
But they will dress up as a nun and beat the crap out of you. And most people just, you know, after a while, they don't want that. They'll
perhaps we should encourage people to call them and ask them about this nun thing.
Yeah, right, exactly. Call them up. Say you want, tell them, let me just tell you what a special thing to ask for. Call up Diminishing Dimensions. Say you want to be in the special Pony Boy program. Okay? Well, yeah, I heard about this on the Bruce and Colin show.
Yeah, well, they'll know.
I want to be in the Pony Boy program.
When they hear that.
Yeah. And basically, what they do is they put a bit or a bridle or something on your snout. And put a bit in your teeth, and they ride you around until you lose weight.
Yep.
They wear spurs.
Some people lose 6-7 pounds a week.
Yeah.
And they wear spurs?
They wear spurs. Of course, that make you go faster.
That's true. I guess it would. Yeah.
They ride you around, pretty soon you lose weight. Let's talk to Amy from Bristol. Our numbers, by the way, if anybody wants to talk to us, it's 522-WETIC, 1-800-966-WETIC.
I've done every one of these things. You name one, I've done it.
Really? You've done a lot of... You have lost a ton of weight.
But
you were on a program this time, right?
I wasn't on a program.
You were on the Fear of God program, basically.
Well, it was actually loosely based on the Diminishing Dimensions thing that I learned from them. Yeah.
What, is Mrs. Stevens dressing up as a nun and hitting you? Or?
Yeah, that's likely.
522-WETIC, 1-800-966-WETIC, star WETIC if you have something or even nothing.
I once lost 112 pounds by a reputable, program.
A real reputable probe, did you say?
A program.
That's another way.
There's no probe involved.
I believe Diminishing Dimensions will work that out for you, too.
Yeah, no, I've done, Weight Watchers.
They have a whole alien abduction fantasy that they do where they... simulate, you know, abducting you, bringing you to a ship, and then they just probe you.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. What were you saying?
Weight
Watchers, what else have you done?
Weight Watchers. I did a thing called Physicians Weight Loss. I don't know if they're still around. A Nutrisystem, I've done that. Trying to think.
But yes, you've done a lot of these programs.
Yeah. And Diminishing Dimensions, I can say, is the best one.
Because it's exercise. They don't advertise with us anymore.
No,
we're not
saying it. They've always hated us. Even when they advertise, they hated us.
They don't exactly hate us. They fear us.
Right.
And
believe me, we fear them.
Yeah.
But it's based on, you know, solid nutritional...
You get exercise, you eat less, you know?
Yeah, and, pretty much, and water, yeah.
Yeah, and you eat less and you drink water. Yeah. And
so
I mean,
it's really no real big mystery to the whole thing.
People think that I did Diminishing Dimensions because back in 94, 95, I lost about 35 pounds. I didn't. What I did was I hung around with the Diminishing Dimensions dominatrixes, you know, and I didn't do their program, but like when Marlene and I would work out together and stuff like that, we'd lift weights.
Yeah, I'd heard about that.
But I didn't do their program.
Yeah. Would you like to share any of that with us while we're here? You worked out with Marlene?
I lifted weights with Marlene, and I hated her so much that I would just try to lift more weights to prove that I could lift more weights than she could.
Which you probably couldn't.
Oh, it was very difficult to do. She's a very strong person.
Very, very in shape, shall we say. I haven't seen her in a while, but I...
Yeah. So I lost a lot of weight doing that, and I built up my muscle mass. I mean, that's one of the things, if you build up your muscle mass, then your body starts eating weight,
which is
true.
Yes, it does.
It's absolutely true that if you do that, that works, but...
get them atrophied muscles toned up.
And then sometimes she would dress up as my third grade teacher and hit me with a ruler. It was sort of a different part of it, though.
Yeah. It was after the workout, wasn't it?
Yeah, talk to John Vernon on his cell phone.
All right, we have a special little thing we're going to do. A test we do on the air.
What, the test you have to take about...
Not that test. No. Right. No, this is the test we do to make sure that we're, you know, emergency thing there, whatever it is.
There's the test that we do here now.
Don't get
FCC regulations.
Don't get into that.
And the computer says a dirty word to you, and if you say the dirty word back, Summoner Redstone gives you a shock through the mouth.
It was just a
they're
going to
get those
time.
Spines down no matter what it takes.
Did you take yours yet?
No.
Oh,
but they did put the electrodes in my tuchus, so I'm completely ready. We have a new Chilean director of compliance here. Dr. Pinochet, who apparently...
Right.
Very familiar with the FCC regulations. All right.
The following is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system. WTIC, Hartford. After select UConn men's and women's basketball game.
It's not convenient. I think, John, you're taking it too personally that Bruce won't watch Lost.
I
would love to watch it.
All right.
Maybe I can get a tape.
We'll have somebody tape it for you.
Yeah.
We'll get one of the interns to do that.
Right.
We don't really have
the interns we don't have.
Yeah. We can get Zach to do it. All right, what do you want anyway?
What I wanted to say was I actually lost weight through diminishing dimensions, and I wasn't even a member. I actually had a roommate who was a member, and he was actually on the maintenance program that you were talking about, where he basically came over to the apartment, and all I was his roommate. And apparently he wasn't home one day.
Yeah.
They beat the crap out of me.
So you got sort of a contact high for diminishing dimensions.
Exactly. I'm scarred from it, and I didn't sign up. I guess I should be grateful.
Yeah. Well, did they do the thing where they put the Twinkie on the ground and then they put the dog collar on you and kind of walk you around the Twinkie and kind of jerk at the choke chain and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, exactly that. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Bye. He's really upset at you. He's really mad at you. Well, you won't watch Lost.
I can't watch it.
I know you're not going to watch Lost, and it's fine. You're not going to watch it. That's fine. I'm not hurt by that or anything
like
that.
Next,
you and I have been together a long time.
Is it on next Wednesday?
Our relationship can stand up or something like that.
Well, I would be happy to watch it, but I won't be home. I'm spending the evening with my son.
You don't have to apologize to me.
And I won't be home until probably
9:15. Family time is more important 9:15. Than some dumb TV show anyway. I totally agree with that.
Well.
You know what I watched last night?
But you're going to be watching it, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My son can go out and play in the trap. Five drugs, whatever. I have to watch Lost.
Right.
You know what I watched last night? I don't know why. I do know why I watched this. But I watched Medium, which is this Patricia Arquette show, and where she can talk to dead people and stuff like that. By the way, they're speaking of this topic we were talking about before, they're working on a similar vehicle for Kirstie Alley, which will be called Large.
That's so cold.
But it's a stupid show. It's a really stupid show. I think we should really root for it, even though I'm not sure it's on our network.
Wait a minute. What would lead you to think that something like that would be a stupid show?
Well, I mean, I watched.
Why did you need to watch it to figure out that it was a stupid show?
But they didn't even have control of the only kind of narrative concept. And she's married to this guy who looks like the fifth monkey. You know, he looks like this guy they've got ready.
Oh.
This guy that they've got ready in case Peter Tork goes down with a knee or something like that. They can just rush him right in there and not miss a beat.
That's great. Did you see the news?
No.
The new morning personality at CBS FM in New York.
Yeah.
Mickey Dolenz.
Well, Mickey Dolenz, he's had kind of a radio career, right? He's been spinning the hits for a while, I think.
Oh, I don't know.
I think
maybe.
He has. Do we have to go?
No, we have another 2 minutes.
Well, this show, I mean, supposedly.
Well, what's the point of telling you this?
Every half hour, it's
okay. You can go right to the bottom of the hour.
Right. I don't listen.
Well, no kidding. Really?
Up here. That's why I'm thinking these
right. Okay.
So, she's supposed to talk to dead people, except she knows all this stuff that dead people probably didn't tell her. Like at one point, she's talking to this. It was such a stupid show, but she's talking to this Texas Ranger who's had heart problems, or that she knows he's had heart problems. But then she says, and by the way, as far as I can tell, you're going to be fine.
He's alive.
He's alive. She's gonna. He's gonna. Well, so what dead person knows that? I mean, the dead people, I would think theoretically, only know things that you know they would have either stuff that they knew during their lifetimes or things that they've observed while they've been walking around as ghosts.
Right.
But I don't see how the dead people can know what's going to happen. You know, 3 years from now.
I wouldn't think.
I mean, if the dead people are telling her stuff like that, she should have gone in and evacuated Phuket instead of, you know, running around Texas trying to solve crimes.
Right.
But it's a stupid show. It doesn't even make sense on its own terms.
All right.
And
did you go into this with already a preconceived notion that,
I thought it was going to be like Chekhov or something. You know, I thought it was going to be terrific TV drama.
I meant about talking to the dead.
Did I have preconceived terms ideas about it?
Yeah. Do you think it's possible?
Can talk to dead people?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe people can talk to dead people.
But you don't
know. Working here who are almost dead, and they can communicate more or less.
That's true.
I mean, I can talk to the people over at 100.5, for example. You just have to press on their chest to get kind of a response. Anyway, we have to go.
From Campbell. I have to see it. CSI is a great show.
How many of them are there? There's like two of those?
Three.
Three of those? Three of them.
Three. CSI, CSI Miami, CSI New York.
Yeah.
They're working on CSI Bridgeport.
CSI Southington, actually, is the one who's coming out.
Here we go again.
People drop dead at that Apple Festival all the time anyway. They've got to have, have a forensic team ready to go at any moment. All right, our numbers are 522-WTIC. One
lunch, okay? I'm standing up for lunch.
Tim Collins shall return.
What do we have to take a line to? I don't know what it's. I don't know whether this is true or not. We may be putting on.
All right, here we go. You ready?
Yes.
How's it going, guys?
Great.
The only reason I called was, enough of this election stuff. It's time for the death of Dr. Neil Clark Warren. Yeah, I've really had it with this guy. I don't need some PhD telling me how to score. This guy's a total jerk. I'm serious. He's nuts. I can't, you want to make my skin crawl?
Yeah.
Have that gravelly voice jerk, running off at the mouth about how his team of PhDs is going to give you the magic formula for amorous success. These people, these losers. I mean, do you want to be around any of those people in any of those commercials? Oh my God!
No, I'd rather
we fit together like a puzzle. Makes you want to vomit.
Your famous religious education of Southington, Temple Beth Tikva of Madison, and Temple Sinai of Newington.
The following closed American gymnastics Barons Kempo Karate.
Hey.
Dance step in Berlin, Estelle Jones School of Dance, Manchester School of Dance. All classes are canceled. Middlesex Dance Center closed. Evening classes canceled at New Horizons Computer Learning in Windsor. And Renee School of Dance is closed.
Avon Parks and Recreation has no activities. Same goes.
Canceled.
Welcome a new cancellation here to our cancellation list. I've never seen this one before. Anyway, BARQ, that's BARQUE. BARQ Eagle Division Naval CC. Whatever that is, in Plainville. All meetings are canceled. But you may practice your sea shanties on your own. Beth,
is that the Naval Reserve thing?
I got
Plainville.
In Plainville? Why would there be a Naval Reserve?
There's a Naval Reserve. There is.
Really? Yes. Okay.
There's a Naval Reserve thing in Plainville.
Well, they kept the British off our shores in 1812. I do remember that. Beth David Bingo in West Harvard is canceled. Bristol Boys and Girls Club is closed at 4 p.m. Cheshire Career Opportunity, second shift canceled. Farmington Senior Center, all activities canceled. Well, they kept the British off our shores in 1812. I do remember that. Beth David Bingo in West Harvard is canceled. Bristol Boys and Girls Club is closed at 4 p.m. Cheshire Career Opportunity, second shift canceled. Farmington Senior Center, all activities canceled. French Canadian Wuss Bunny Chicken Wussy Genealogical in Tallinn is closed. Greater Hartford Dance Academy is closed. Knights of Columbus and Meriden's closed. Middletown Emblem Club number 452 is closed. And St. Paul High School Bingo in Bristol is canceled. Is that it for you?
So that, yeah, that's it for me.
That's all I got. All right. Oh, what a great song.
I just want to say that so far, to the best of our knowledge, there have been no avalanche warnings issued, so that's good.
I just want to say the French Canadian Genealogical Society, what a bunch of babies. You know, I mean, they're your French Canadians. Fuck it up. Get on your snowmobile. Not that there's any snow for you to go out.
I was
going
to say, I hate to break it to you, but it's not exactly, piled up out there. And it's, what is this?
I mean, it seems to be the French Canadian Genealogical Society should be meeting even if it is snowing.
Isn't right, that's
like,
what our...
I think that's like mother's milk to them, huh? Maybe they have to cancel when there's no snow. We cannot meet tonight. It's not snowing. But really, I mean, that's embarrassing. I don't mean to pass judgment on people's cancellations ordinarily, but to be French Canadian and scared of 35 degree weather.
Ordinarily,
well,
you don't like to pass judgment.
In general, I mean, if they want to cancel bingo somewhere, that's fine. It's their business. But I mean, really, French Canadians, hold your head up high here. What's wrong with you? It's 35 freaking degrees out there, and there's nothing coming down from
that.
The sky. That ought
Hold
to be,
on.
You guys ought to be out there in your bathing
suit.
Oh,
you're right. It's 35.
But that's T-shirt weather for French Canadians.
You should be going ice fishing or something. Yeah. Although you can't do that, I would imagine the lakes aren't frozen.
No, they couldn't go ice fishing. That's true.
Is Salhaney frozen out here?
I want to talk about that. You know one reason I'm on edge here? And really, Suzanne heard this. A number of people. Right before we were going to hear, he screamed at me. He just screamed at me and yelled at me. I mean, really loud. Somebody gave him one of those, like, Who Moved the Cheese books or something like that for Christmas. I guarantee you that. And he's decided now that he's going to really manage this place, and he's going to dot all the I's and cross all. Well, I'm sure it doesn't say in the Who Moved the Cheese book.
Yeah.
I'm sure it doesn't say, pick your most artistically temperamental, you know, sensitive employee
right.
and scream at him 2 minutes before he goes down the. Yeah, I was personally on tears reading those cancellations.
I didn't notice that.
People all up and down the hallway are just hearing this, just shouting and, get in my office! And all this kind of stuff. I didn't go to his office anyway.
Well.
I said no.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I'm getting a lawyer. I don't have to put up with this kind of. It's an unreasonable work environment.
Do you take your little test?
I take the little indecency test.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you pass that?
Yes, I feel dirty from taking the test, to tell you the truth. They confronted me with so many obscene situations. I don't even know, though, the imagination did some of these ideas spring
well,
from?
Well, that's a good question. Don't even start.
Right, now, I'm not going to start.
I know.
I'm very uninterested. I was screamed at by management before I went on the air. For no reason whatsoever.
I mean, you can't put the whole entire management team.
No, but
you can't indict everybody in here just because.
Shouting at me at the top of his little tiny lungs and waving his strange little hands at me.
What did he say?
I don't know. He said, get in my office and do this and do that. I don't know.
Well, he was probably just kidding around.
No, he wasn't kidding around.
He wasn't kidding around?
Some of it had to do with. I haven't filled out a time card since June, but.
Well, that's true.
There were some things like that he was bothered by.
I see.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, this is what he's doing. He walked around. Well, they deserve to be yelled at, but he's walking around yelling at people all the time. Somebody must have given him a book called Management by Yelling. You know, either that or they gave him some other book about management, and he only read the yelling chapter and then fell asleep.
He's not a yeller.
No.
Usually.
No, he's not.
No.
But he's just shouting and frightening me. And I'm very sensitive.
I know that.
And I need to be in a certain mood to do this show.
I know that.
And I just can't be shouted at. Well, joining us today on our show will be Greg Kladke, the New Haven Register Bureau Chief up at the State Capitol, and Chris Powell from the Journal Inquirer.
Two fine gentlemen.
Two fine journalists. Both of them are going to comment a little bit on the governor's speech today. You know, I just, obviously, I mean, everybody, I think, feels show? Or the sales rep on Aruba for the month?
First, first you complain there are too many commercials.
Well, there were too many commercials.
Then you complain that there are no commercials.
Feast or
very few commercials.
Yeah.
Assuming
the reps are.
There's no. Apparently no.
Out and they're in Aruba.
No making you happy.
Well, there's
at all. Summer breeze would be a reference to the fine. Fine storm we have going. Major, huge. Yeah. Giant storm going on right now, a massive storm.
Unless you're a French Canadian, in which case.
Which is really huge, and everybody, I mean, my kid's going to be happy, get the day off.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow will be probably a more real kind of storm. But
I was about to go to school tomorrow to make up for today.
But I just want to say this, like today the governor's thing, I almost went over there and then I decided not to, partly because there's like so many people over the state capitol now who just hate me that it's exhausting to be over there being hated by so many people. So. I decided to watch it on CTN. I love CTN. So I watched the speech on CTN. But then I wanted to hear, you know, people being interviewed afterwards. And CTN typically doesn't do that because they have nobody to do it.
Right.
They start playing classical music or something, and you watch everyone milling around. One of the things you notice on the first day of the legislature, if you have forgotten this, is that it's high school. You know, I mean, and really, the more time you spend at the General Assembly, it is totally high school. And there's cliques, and there's popular kids and stuff like that. And so, I mean, everybody's sort of milling around, kind of, you know, hugging one another, and how was your Christmas, and all this kind of stuff, and everything. But it's just, the feeling is very much like high school getting back in session. But, so anyway, I watched Governor Rell's speech, and it was a fine speech, and we'll comment on it as the day goes along. But then, I wanted to see some interviews, so I switched over to the network affiliates. And first of all, 61, I think, didn't carry it at all. 61, they actually have a pretty good political reporter. I forget what his name is. But he's actually...
Is that Rick?
Yeah, that guy. He's pretty good. Rick, that guy.
What's his last name?
I don't know. Doesn't matter. Television people.
Well, it does matter.
They come, they go.
He's an anchor on the weekend sometimes.
Yeah, he's very good, and he's very knowledgeable. I used to be on the talk shows with him, and he's very knowledgeable. He knows what he's talking about. They didn't cover it. And then 30 covered it with Janet kind of anchoring, and then they had Monahan there. Tom Monahan is a very experienced reporter, but I mean, well, no, Tom's he's phoning it in
here,
today. Here, he's like,
here we go.
I don't know when this pension kicks in, but he just can't wait. So, you know, you throw it to Tom, and he goes, yeah, well, I'm here, and a lot of other people are here. Okay, back to you, Janet. that's about how much work Tom's going to put into this whole thing. So, and then Channel 3, I mean, I don't know who works for Channel 3 now. It's like Lord of the Rings over there. Just a bunch of hobbits and elves hopping around. But, I mean, apart from the actual anchor people, I don't know who works there, who knows anything about this area.
I'm sure they have a very qualified political reporter that's on the scene.
I don't know who it was.
Well, I don't know either, but no. I'm sure that they must have had somebody.
Somebody who, like, you know, is still unpacking from Fort Worth. Somebody who, like, got off a Greyhound yesterday. that's who their political reporter is. Did you tell me where the state capitol is? It that thing with the gold on the top? I've got to cover the Governor Rails address, whatever her name is.
Greyhound.
I'm the chief political reporter for WFSB.
You did forget one reporter, though, that was there.
Mark Davis.
Well, not only Mark Davis, but, I mean, you forgot Chris Francis.
Well, I was just talking TV right
was
now.
On the scene.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Our people are all over the place, and the news people are all, newspaper people are all over the place. But Mark Davis really showed up. And because the anchors at Channel 8, the noon anchors, are clearly afraid of Mark, as well they should be. Because, I mean, nobody back in New Haven has the emotional or psychological wherewithal to say, Mark, we're not coming back to you after the commercial. And Mark is sort of there, you know, he does tear down the fourth wall. He's just sort of standing there with his microphone going, hey, could somebody get me, hey, that's Bob Ward over there, get it, hey, somebody bring Bob Ward over here, okay? It's sort of like that. You're sort of watching guests be booked, basically. is Jim Eamon up? Is that his wife standing? Okay, bring Jim Eamon, right? After Bob Ward, bring Jim, you know, it's that kind of thing. But, you know, they stayed around. The other people, you can just tell, Channel 3 and Channel 30, they can't wait to cut back to, like, Dr. Phil or whatever scum bucket thing they've been on. You know, it's like, for 3 seconds, the camera lingers on the podium, you know, and then suddenly there was, well, yeah, at a certain point, I did tell him I was sleeping with his brother, but, you know, they don't even say they're going back, they just go back. We can't stand it anymore, we actually have to go back to the programming that makes money. But, you know, the Channel 8, we should give them a shout-out. They stayed around, they interviewed Bob Ward, they interviewed Jim Eamon, you know, I mean, actually, there was a little bit of news. Eamon basically said that there will be a stem cell research bill. It'll come up. I mean, Jody had said the same thing too, but he said it'll come up fast. It'll get passed fast, in his opinion. It'll be one of the first bills considered by. So I mean, you know, Mark got a little news and stuff like that, and you know, we make fun of Mark because
we can.
He's a very odd person, that's why we make fun of Mark. But I mean, he's serious about all this stuff, and he really does want to get the news out to you. And on a day when I really don't care what these TV stations do, but almost seriously, I would say, on a day like this, when Jody Rowell has been so much the focus of Connecticut's attention, first because of the unusual way in which she came into office, and second because of her cancer, on a day when she's kind of coming back, it does seem to me that maybe you devote a little bit more time to this, that you don't go rushing back, you know, to Hollywood Squares or whatever. I mean,
Hollywood Squares is not.
I mean, you know, that maybe you just spend an extra 5 or 10 minutes doing a little bit of talk and analysis or something like that, you know, but, I mean, but as I say, Channel 61 couldn't even be bothered.
The name of the political reporter at Channel 3 is Susan Rapp.
I've never heard of that person.
Well,
I'm sure she's good.
Somebody phoned it in,
oh,
apparently.
Really? Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just telling
you
what.
She was like in Wichita last week, I can guarantee.
No, I think she's been here for a while.
Well,
a couple weeks.
I'm sure she's fine. I mean, yeah. I don't mean to cast asparagus on her. I mean, I know.
We don't really know her.
Yeah, so. She may be terrific. Well, maybe we should have her on as a guest.
Maybe we should. You know, like
just to upset Mark, we should do it.
That's a good reason. I know in the past, when you've talked about various television personalities in the area. It's worked out well.
I just didn't know who that was. And I mean, I know, I don't even know anybody. I know
like the woman at Channel 30.
I know Al and I know Denise. And I know Dennis. Yeah. And I know that his elf bride.
Yes.
Kara.
Right.
And that's about it. I don't know.
Well, that's four people. How many more do you need to know?
Those are anchors. I don't even know. I mean, she's, Kara's sort of a reporter. I mean, she anchors too. And I don't, can you name another person? I'm not talking about like Bruce DePriest.
Channel 3, yes, I can. Let me think.
Give me a reporter for Channel 3.
The guy, Kevin Hogan.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about Kevin Hogan.
Well, I should get a little credit for coming up with one.
That's very good. I'm very impressed. I thought he died.
I thought he died
during the last labor strife there. He wasn't like beaten to death by goons from the company. Oh, Dan Cain. Is Dan Cain still there? Yeah.
I guess.
I haven't watched this station in quite some time. This should be obvious at this point.
Or much felt.
I try to watch all these things a little bit just to see who's out there.
Right.
And there are still some very good reporters. That guy Rick that you're talking about, he's a good reporter. He knows what he's talking about at Channel 61. And then...
what is his last name?
It doesn't make any difference. It's not important. James. His name is Rick James.
It's not Rick James.
Rick Hancock. His name is Rick Hancock. Yeah. Rick Hancock. He's really
good. He works with Susan Christensen, right?
Yeah. Rick Hancock's very good. He knows what he's talking about. And, you know, Mark knows what he's talking about. Mark's stark raving mad, but he's very knowledgeable about the political scene. Tom is, as we said, pretty much phoning it in at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Monahan. I don't know.
It's easy to see why you have so many friends.
And there's some other good reporters. See, there's television has some other good reporters. And maybe they're developing some. Like, Susan Rapp could be terrific for all I know.
I believe she is.
We ought to find that out.
I think she's sensational. Yeah. I'm going to say that right now.
Right.
But she's just fabulous.
But I'd like to see a little bit more commitment to maybe covering the governors. I mean, other than Mark, the rest of them just sort of, you know, did the bare minimum.
Do we have a new list here or what?
Can we get like a new program for the lock on the door out there? Can anybody just come in here and annoy us?
Oh, anyway. I'm confused.
All right.
I thought I had this all figured out, but I guess not. All right, okay, anyway. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready. I was ready when the storm
came. I know, but all right. Growing Tree Child Development Center is closed. Noah's Ark at Congregational Beth Israel West Hartford closed. Red Star, whatever it is, closed.
Oh, that's it for you, huh?
No, just a short page.
No activities at Avon Parks and Recreation or Bristol Parks and Recreation or Canton Parks and Recreation or Coventry Department of Public Works. They've got a parking ban in effect. God knows why. East Granby Public Library will close at 4. East Adam Parks and Recreation is closed. No activities either at East Haddam Parks and Recreation, East Hartford Parks and Recreation, East Windsor Youth Basketball, Enfield Parks and Recreation, Glastonbury Parks and Recreation, Middletown Parks and Recreation. None of those places have any activities.
Britton Parks and Recreation closed. No after-school activities. Portland Parks and Recreation, youth basketball practices and games are canceled. South Windsor Recreation Department, youth basketball and games canceled. Activities canceled. Town of East Granby. In Wallingford, a parking ban is in effect. Town of West Hartford, parking ban in effect until this evening. And in Windsor, all activities there at the Parks and Recreation are canceled.
And All Saints Church in Somersville is closed. No services at Bethel Christian Church in Bristol. No religious school at Church of Mary, Our Queen in Plantsville or Congregation Beth Israel in West Hartford. And closed also is Congregation Adath Israel in Middletown. Congregation Beth Am in Windsor has no religious school, and neither does Congregation Kol Havarim in Glastonbury. Corpus Christi has no CCD in Wethersfield. And Emmanuel Lutheran Church, no events at all. Faith Baptist Church in Manchester, no events at all. And Farmington Valley Jewish Congregation in Simsbury, no religious school.
Meetings are canceled at New Life Fellowship in Plainville. Sacred Heart Church East Berlin Religious School is canceled. Sacred Heart Parish in Vernon Religious School canceled. And Religious School canceled Sacred Heart Parish in Suffield. Events canceled at St. Dominic Religious Ed in Southington. Religious School canceled at St. Pius X Church Religious Ed Middletown. St. Anne's Church, Bristol, events are canceled. Religious school canceled at St. Bartholomew Church, Manchester, St. Bernard in Enfield, St. Bridget's in Moodus, St. James Church, Rocky Hill.
All meetings canceled at St. John the Evangelist in New Britain, and no religious school at St. Mark's Center for Religious Education. St. Matthew Faith Formation Center is closed. No religious school at St. Patrick Church in East Hampton, St. Patrick Religious Education of Enfield, St. Peter Claver Church of West Hartford, St. Thomas Religious Education of Southington, Temple Beth Tikva of Madison, and Temple Sinai Religious Education of Newington.
American Gymnastics closed. Barron's Kenpo Karate is closed. Dance Step Berlin closed. Estelle Jones School of Dance closed. All classes canceled. Manchester School of Dance. Middlesex Dance Center is closed. New Horizons Computer Learning at Windsor evening classes canceled. And Renee School of Dance is closed.
The Bark Eagle Division Naval CC in Plainville, which I'm dying to know what it is. What is it? Do you know, James? Oh, damn the torpedoes and full speed ahead, but there's no meetings. Beth David Bingo is canceled. Bristol, that's in West Hartford. Bristol Boys and Girls Club in Bristol will close at 4 p.m. Cheshire Career Opportunity second shift is canceled. And Farmington Senior Center in Unionville, all activities canceled. Closed are the Wuss Bunny, Chicken Wussy, French Canadian Genealogical Society of Tallinn, and the Greater Hartford Dance Academy, Knights of Columbus in Meriden, Middletown Emblem Club number 452, and St. Paul High School Bingo in Bristol. Well, they're French Canadians. They should go out in the snow. Well, I'm irritated.
Nice.
Okay, here's what happened. We had this guy who was on the line who was going to explain what this strange life aquatic with Steve Zissou thing is in Plainville. And this strange bark thing. And so I ran in there, I got sea shanties, and then we got him, and then it just takes forever to cue this thing up because Don Cinetti can't stop talking before he sings his song. And so Bobby and I are pulling our hair out to get that ready so we can have a sea shanty playing when this guy is on.
Right.
And he hangs up.
Well, maybe he'll call back.
Maybe just the worst day.
He'll call back.
Let's talk to Arnold in this car.
Let's do that. Arnold, hi.
Hi, I have nothing but compliments for the governor. I think
that will eventually lead her to take some leadership in some of the areas you're talking about. So thanks for your call, Arnold.
Dave is back. Do we play the C thing again, or
well,
no?
It would take forever to cue
okay,
it up.
All right, never mind.
It's just a headache.
Okay.
We had music ball picked out for you, Dave.
Okay, Dave's on.
All right, you're on.
Colin, wanted to explain to you what that USNSCC thing is.
Yes, what is that?
It's the United States Naval Sea Cadet Corps.
Oh, Sea Cadet Corps, okay.
Yes, you've probably heard us marching some of the Hartford parades around town and stuff. It's a 12-year-old to 17-year-old youth group based on the U.S. Navy military.
But why would there be a Sea Cadet Corps in Plainville where there's no, for example, sea?
Basically because it's sponsored by the Navy League of Hartford,
mm-hmm.
but we drill at the Naval Marine Reserve Center over in Plainville.
Yeah, okay.
And we teach kids about military life, probably 90% of it being the Navy. We teach them Navy jobs, Navy education, all kinds of things. We're connected, kind of, with the U.S. Coast Guard Bark Eagle, the big sailing schooner.
Yes, the Bark Eagle.
So we spend a lot of time with them, with the Coast Guard, yeah. and they get taught how to operate the boat and maintain it and what goes along with being in the military and teamwork and all kinds of stuff like that.
The Navy doesn't actually shut down its operations when it snows, right? So in that sense, it doesn't really close
people. Well, only because we have people who drive anywhere from 15 minutes to an hour.
Well, so that makes sense.
Every
yeah.
Wednesday or every other Wednesday yeah. to come down to the center for the kids to drill with us.
Well, anyway, this explains it all, and we thank you for that. And,
you're quite welcome.
All right. Now when we read the cancellation, we'll know what it is.
Yep.
But the Bark Eagle Division Naval Sea Cadet Corps is.
Yep.
All right.
That's in every once in a while, like one of those fast attacks is coming into Groton, and it gets going a little too fast.
It just keeps going up the plane.
Going, and by the time they get the plane,
they'll
be
waiting
like
there with fixed bayonets.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's what happens.
I feel so, because we border at the Offworld Colony. I don't actually think we're actually located in any particular town. This is basically a non-municipal brownfield site where our radio station is located, but we're very close to Plainville, and so
very
I feel
close.
As though, you know, in the
right
event,
next to the Trump
yeah.
facility.
In the event of, you know, if there's a Portuguese man of war sailing up from Long Island Sound, I would
right.
feel relatively safe anyway.
Good to know.
Here's whether it were a jellyfish or a boat, I would right. feel safe.
Alan in Southington. Alan?
Yeah, hey guys, how
Hi.
Are you?
Great,
tonight?
Great.
Good.
Hiking ban in effect till this evening. And then Windsor Parks, Windsor Locks, Parks and Recreation, all activities are canceled.
The Bark Eagle Division, Naval Sea something cadets.
That thing in Plainville.
Salty old Plainville. What do they do their little maneuvers? They do them on Lake Salhaney or something? And there's not even a lake in Plainville.
Maybe they must.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a good place to do them. You could see, like, getting a submarine or something in there.
All meetings are canceled. Of course, tomorrow's lecture on the great traditions of the British Navy, Rum, Sodomy, and the Lash will be held as scheduled. Beardsley and Memorial Library in Winsted is closed. Beth David Bingo is canceled. Bristol Boys and Girls Club Bristol will close at 4. Cheshire Career Opportunity in Cheshire will have its second shift canceled. Family History Center of Bloomfield is closed. Farmington Senior Center, all activities canceled. French Canadian Petticoat Wearing Brandy Alexander's Sippin' Genealogical Society is closed in Tallinn. Greater Hartford Dance Academy in Glastonbury and Knights of Columbus in Meriden is closed. Middletown Emblem Club number 452 in Middletown is closed.
St. Paul High School Bingo at Bristol's closed. Did you think as you were graduating from Yale that you would be sitting here years later reading cancellations of various civic organizations?
It was a dream I had.
Yes, I'm sure it was.
And I had the guts to go for it. Further proof that Glastonbury is Twin Peaks, we have this story about a dentist in Glastonbury who's been charged with basically three counts of first-degree larceny, basically grand theft auto. They intercepted a radio signal from a stolen vehicle. I guess it might have been like a LoJack thing or something.
Yeah, did they actually hear the signal coming in on their teeth, maybe? Or...
yeah, or it might have been an OnStar call.
Hi, I'm trapped in a... My dentist just stole my car. And...
you got any kids in the car right now?
Yeah, my kids and I are here. The dentist has the car. He's holding the water laser to our heads right now.
All right, just stay on the line. We're going to have some state troopers come out, okay?
You know what I love
about
you want
about me just to talk to you while yeah. you're waiting?
Hey, how did Tyler's appointment go?
I don't know what to do. The doctor said he has Asperger's.
And all activities are canceled.
Oh, sorry. Bark Eagle Division Naval CCC, whatever that is, Plainville. All meetings are canceled.
Arg!
Beardsley Memorial Library closed.
Arg, mateys!
Beth David Bingo is canceled.
There's a terrible nor'easter coming down from Plainville.
Bristol Boys and Girls Club closed. Cheshire Career Opportunity, second shift canceled. Connecticut Valley Girl Scout Council closed. Family History Center closed. Farmington Senior Center, all activities canceled. The French Canadian Genealogical in Tallinn is closed. The French Canadian Genealogical in Tallinn is closed.
It's your cancellation. You can say anything you want about it.
Oh, okay. Greater Hartford Dance Academy closed, and Knights of Columbus Meriden is closed.
Middletown Emblem Club number 452 is closed, and there's no bingo at St. Paul High School in Bristol. We're done.
All right.
I didn't say anything about it, but a lot of college radio stations out on behalf of Madam Adams Secretary's office.
Just out of curiosity, when you get up in the morning, do you like make a list of people that you want to honk off on any given day, or does it just come naturally, or what?
This was interesting, right? You know, I just.
Oh, it is interesting.
Yeah. And then
it's going to be really interesting when the phone rings sometime between now and 6.
Well, you know Larry Gross, you know, she's probably got her hands around his windpipe right now.
Do something about this! They can't say that about me!
Well, I think it would only be fair, wouldn't it, to find out, you know, what the deal is from one or the other of
the
boys.
I can't call them unless you let go of my throat now, okay?
And then Roy Occhiogrosso pointed this out to me. I've been noticing this, too, and I just haven't got around to saying anything about it. But a lot of college radio stations are great. Like WWUH, that's a great radio station. Well, a lot of them, it's like, talk about phoning it in. A lot of them are just getting so lazy, and it's like they just can't even be bothered, that a number of college radio stations have talked about starting carrying NPR programming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't even get that. I mean, ESU was talking about it, then it was, and now what is it called?
You don't get it?
WNHU at the University of New Haven is talking about doing the same thing.
Mm.
And
well, in most cases, I was about to say probably it's an economic thing, but if you're putting people on, those are like
phone,
exactly. They're bone, you know.
I don't understand that. What I mean, is it just because they don't want to get up that early or something? But I mean, it just seems to me that, I mean, I thought every college was full of pimply-faced moron kids who want to play Secret Machine for 3 hours, you know.
But that might be the problem. Somebody's got to manage all of that.
I guess.
And if you put NPR on, you don't have to.
It's a bad trend.
Worry about it.
Do we have an instrument in here?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a bad trend because, I mean, college radio is one of the few sources of real diversity. I mean, anything can be on college radio, which means that a lot of really horrific stuff is played. Horrific music is played, and there are people talking who have nothing to say. kind of like this show, actually. We could get right down to it. But less professionally.
It's best if you don't have anything to say to at least be professional about it.
Don't groan. But anyway, there's also just a lot of terrific stuff, and it is one of the few fountainheads, you know, of anything interesting or different. If you're ever going to hear anything new, you know, you're probably not going to hear it on one of the radio stations out here. I mean, God bless them, but, you know, these are the people who played Hootie until you're ready to scream. So, I mean, college radio, you don't want to see them. They shouldn't be college radio. I mean, it's a great tradition. Just do it, you know, get it done.
Computer learning in Windsor, Renee's School of Dance in Yalesville, all closed. Park Eagle Division, Navy, CCC in Plainville. Meetings are canceled. Beardsley Memorial Library closed. Bingo.
All right, I'm in my apartment sometimes, and I do this little workout where I sing, because you make me want to squat.
I could see where that would be helpful. Yeah. Sure.
Let's talk to Carl from Bloomfield, and then we'll move away from 24 eventually.
Carl.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
I don't know how many viewers you're going to have left after talking about squatting for too much longer. But
look, everyone squats sooner or later. As a matter of fact, we had, Bruce doesn't like to think about this too much, but we actually had the inventor of the squatting toilet on one day. This is a toilet. This guy has invented this toilet where he says the natural position, and if you think about the animal world, I think this makes a certain amount of sense, but the normal position for voiding in would be to squat. A toilet that you squatted on, you would void better and more comfortably and more successfully. And he sold any number of these.
More completely.
Yeah. So this is your squatting, this is your show for up-to-the-date information about squatting.
Okay. Well, just three quick things about 24.
Mm-hmm.
It is not science fiction. President Palmer is played by Dennis Haysbert, was a Democrat.
Okay.
And I believe the second series had him infected by a contact.
I don't want to know anything that happened in the second season.
Well, okay.
No.
I will
I'm putting my fingers in my ear now.
All right. Well, I can't tell you about that. I guess he watched it on TV.
I want to know just sort of politically. I mean, it seems like last night's episode seems like it was, you know, co-written by Alberto Gonzalez.
Well, series two, I believe, had some. You'll have to see it yourself, but
all right.
There were fine Democrat moments that you would enjoy there.
So it doesn't really have any particular political orientation. That's what you're saying. I mean, it kind of yo-yos around a little bit.
And you know, Kiefer Sutherland is Canadian, right? What kind of immunity does Bush have with a Canadian doing our tour? So you might want to ask Alberto Gonzalez.
That should be their plan, is to have Canadians do it.
Well,
we take them a long time to get around to it, though. You know, I mean, they just sort of they start talking about torturing you, and then they sort of, you know, they drift off. All right, we're going to torture you pretty soon, eh?
Here is Kevin in the car. Kevin.
Hey there. You know, it seems to me that if Colin needs some squatting lessons, Randy Moss might have a clinic on that for you, Colin.
We do have to talk about Randy Moss at some point today, although I would imagine we'll do it with Kevin Nathan.
I'm not trying to make it in the sports talk, but I wasn't sure he'd be talking about squatting an hour and a half from now. Then again, he might be.
Well, was he squatting or was he mooning?
I heard both reports. I didn't see the play.
I saw it.
I simulated mooning.
You think it was simulated mooning?
What they're implying is that he was mock defecating and...
Oh, he's mock defecating and then mock mooning. See, I saw it, and it seemed to me... See, I have this... I have this completely different interpretation of what was happening right at the moment, because I was watching it with my friend Maud, and so he did something. And then,
pretended to pull his pants down and moon the crowd, is what it says here.
Okay, because then the commentator, whoever was the commentator, said, that was disgusting what he just did. Was it Dan Dierdorf? I don't know.
If he was just mooning, why did he then grind his buttocks up against the goalpost?
That's the thing that I saw. He was grinding his buttocks up against the... I'm glad you said that, because that's what I saw. I didn't see mooning and I didn't see squatting.
The mooning might have been the touchdown. The grinding might have been the extra point.
Yeah, something like that. Well,
I don't know.
Anyway, good luck with your squatting, Colin.
Well, thank you, but we will go into this at some point. I don't know. I mean, we'll probably be cautioned about this. I didn't understand. At one point, he seemed to be, I don't know whether I would say grinding, but he was like rubbing his butt on the he was rubbing his butt on the...
Fine.
So I'm not making this up.
I know you're not.
He was rubbing his butt on the
goalpost. Okay, he was rubbing his butt on the goalpost.
Okay.
Fine.
Okay, fine. Okay, fine then. Well, come on. The Costellini, I'm probably in trouble. Costellini's probably going to write me up. But we have to be able to talk about that. People are watching at home, and this man is doing unnatural acts on the field of some kind.
Right.
The question is, I mean, Janet Jackson, you could barely see her nipple, and we apparently civilization almost crashed into rubble as a result of that. But Randy Moss is doing all kinds of strange things.
Yeah, I would say so. I didn't see it.
It was like he needed a gastroenterologist and a sex therapist right away. But, I mean, I'm glad that Kevin said what he said at the end, because that was the main thing that I got, was that he was rubbing his butt on the goalpost.
I didn't see it.
As if to sort of, I don't know, maybe thank the goalposts for whatever role they played in his scoring a touchdown. I'm glad to see you. I'm glad to see you, goalposts.
Yeah.
And this is how I express that. I rub my butt against you. You're looking away from that.
No.
Oh, it was Joe Buckle who was talking. Okay.
Jim in East Hartford. Jim.
Hi, guys. Hi. Charles, Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you.
Listen, I follow this very closely. I'm a big Joe Buck fan.
Okay.
And what you missed was right after it, he said, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. The other real football players said, shut up or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then he said, flam-a-lam-a-ding-dong, you know, like for Bud commercials.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So it was more like a Joe Buck.
There's a little bit of something going on between Joe Buck and the football players.
But basically, in terms of the behavior that you observed,
yes.
What did you observe? What did you think that Randy Moss was doing?
I didn't really catch the defecating part. I thought it was more. I think his intent was to moan.
Okay, but you didn't see him enjoying himself with the goalposts in some way?
I was so disgusted along with Joe that I.
No, this was before Joe said he was disgusted.
I didn't see him grinding anything.
I didn't say grinding. I just said.
He into the dirt.
It's more like he was introducing himself.
Hey, Jim?
Yes, sir.
How fast can you get over here with your car?
All right, we'll just forget
the
whole thing.
First.
You know what? Kevin Nathan has paid big bucks to figure this stuff out, so we'll just drop it until Kevin's on.
Drop him and then I'll come over and take over.
But I don't want Kevin wussing out when the whole thing comes up.
I bet he does.
I know.
Kevin says it's disgusting. Tell him he needs to grow up and be a real football player.
Okay. All right. Thanks. He will. You watch out.
Yeah, when I was in high school, our coach encouraged us to rub our butts on the goal post so we wouldn't feel a stranger to it.
Boy, see, act like you'd been there before.
Yeah, Paul Brown used to do that, right?
Yeah, right. Not about the goalpost.
Well, maybe
it was the end zone.
Extend that to the goalpost.
No matter what I say here, it's just going to go further down the drain.
Hello, goalpost. Glad to meet you. This is how we say hello where I come from.
Well, okay.
Okay.
That's how you say hello?
Well, no, I was wondering, I was pretending to
say hello.
That's not how we say hello where I come from. We don't rub our butts on things. No.
At least not goalposts.
No. Okay, forget it. We'll just move on.
Should I get the manual out?
Yeah, get the manual out. See if we can say things like that. You know what else came up today? This is I'm not usually in the office as early as I was here today, and so I probably miss all this stuff all the time. I'm actually really happy about what I'm about to say, but there's a certain amount of whining and grousing that goes on among the people who put together the Buddy Vicevich show about the fact that we have cost them guests. In the sense that, for example, apparently Rudy Giuliani will no longer appear on this radio station on any of its shows. He won't even go on, like, you know, I don't know, your Dan Simpson show. He won't go anywhere. Nothing. No, nothing. He won't go on Garden Talk. He's so mad at us. And it's all because of how we treated him. So they're, like, really mad because they want to have Rudy Giuliani on, even though he's a duplicitous, lying snake. He's just the lowest. And you know why this guy has any credibility about anything after recommending Bernard Carrick, the man who broke up Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston's marriage? Well, I made that up, actually, but it seems plausible.
Anything's possible.
But, you know, Bernard Carrick was just, you know, I just turned out to be just this reprobate, this complete compromised in every possible way. Now, why Rudy Giuliani would be worth talking to after that, except to ask him the question, how could you have been so stupid? I don't know, but there are.
Do you think that question would be asked if you were appearing?
There may be problems with getting Bernard Goldberg on this station too. Although Bernard Goldberg owes us a visit to apologize to me.
Yes, he does. I agree.
He agreed on the air that if I turned out to be right about the statue of Saddam Hussein, he would come back on the air and apologize. Well, Bernard Goldberg, where are you? But anyway, not only is he not coming back to apologize to me, apparently he won't go on any shows at the station either. But I think, first of all, as I pointed out to Buddy's producer, Mikey C., it's not like there's some shortage of right-wing lunatics that they can get on that show just because Rudy Giuliani won't come on. And Rudy Giuliani's politics are way too moderate for that show anyway. You know, they'd be better off channeling the ghost of Strom Thurmond or something, you know?
How did you know?
Yeah, that's probably, they probably have a Patricia Arquette coming on to interview Strom Thurmond or something. But anyway, I don't know. I don't feel bad about that at all. I mean, the truth is, when we have people on that we don't like, we're mean to them. Whereas Buddy has people on he doesn't like and he fucks up to them. You know, he'll have, like, you know, Curry on. We know he doesn't like. We have people on that we like and we're mean to them too.
Bruce and Colin shall return.
Ask the Governor show today?
Oh, my God.
Did you hear Sound Off Connecticut?
I think I maybe did hear. I believe he had, like, the entire cast of Apocalypse Now on. That's what he has every day. It's like all these whacked-out renegade colonels who are sitting there with, like, a severed Viet Cong head in their laps, you know. Well, Jim, I don't know why we haven't turned the entire Middle East to glass at this point. I mean, we've got the weapons. Let's use them, okay? I mean, it's like and he has this, there's one guy he has on, like, every day. Vice Sergeant, you know, Tom Marzullo or something. He's, like, you know, living in a palm tree with an AK-47 and some MREs. Really, it's like some kind of, you know, Army-Navy surplus hour or something. He has, like, all these just deranged people, you know.
Well, I must say, I think it is very unfair that Randy Moss is about to be fined for doing something that Art Horn does in the NBC VIT newsroom all the time with impunity. It's time for Sports Atois, the very first sports discussion in the next 6 months. I thank Mr. Kevin Nathan, Mr. Bruce Stevens, and myself.
Luigas Condonamere.
What would that be?
You can't peck on Art like that.
It would be nice if you did. There's some very nice Buicks there.
Right.
And so that's that.
You certainly did a fine job of selling that.
Thank you. A lot of my heart is full of excitement about
that. Yeah, I can tell.
And I'm in a horrific mood. I want to see. I'd like just to take one moment.
Why are you
moment.
In a horrific mood?
Because of this whole speakerphone thing where we're supposed to have Michelle Rubin on.
The speakerphone was an hour ago.
I know. I'm still upset about it. Bobby, you know, Bobby really likes people. I just hate that about him. Bobby, our producer, like, I'm in the office today for a few extra hours.
Yes, I noticed that.
As usual. Yep. And, of course, what am I thinking about when I'm sitting in the office? I hope nobody comes in.
Yeah, but you know what?
There are a few exceptions to that. I don't want to say that there's nobody here at the radio station that I can stand to talk to. There are a small group of people. I like Kate Grell. She's a very nice person. She came in and talked to me about movies today, and that's fine. But for the most part, I hope nobody comes in. But if anybody so much as walks by the door, like today, Glenn Colligan walked by the door. Well, I mean, I'm sitting there. My heart is racing a mile a minute. Glenn could have, like, an axe in his briefcase. You know? And Bobby's like Rick Moranis in Ghostbusters. He, like, leaps out of his chair and goes, "Hey, Glenn, aren't you coming in? We're playing Twister in here. Hey, Glenn, where are you going? Aren't you even going to come in and say hi? Don't ask him to come say hi. He's going to come in and kill us all." It's like, but Bobby's like that, really. If Michael Ross walked down there, you go, "Hey, Mike, aren't you going to do? You want to come see how the studio works? Would you like to come in and see how I fire off the commercials?" No! We don't want these people coming in. We don't want them visiting. But really, nobody can walk down. Well, nobody
can
walk by.
I'm in there every day. I know how it is.
I mean, you know what I'm talking about, right? You back me up about this.
I back you up. I'm in there every day. Yeah. I see it every day. And if he isn't doing that, he's on the phone talking to somebody for hours on end.
I know. It's like,
you
know,
inviting them to come in. And, you know, the people.
You didn't even say hi. Don't you even say hello anymore, Scott. You guys are going to the gas chamber. You don't want these people to come in and talk to us. We don't like them.
Oh.
Oh. All right.
Are you done?
I had to get off.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
Bet you feel better now.
Right. I mean, you're not as antisocial as I am, and you do enjoy targeting some people.
Some of them, yeah. Some of them.
You know
some of them I don't.
It's bad enough how many people are going to come in if you don't invite them. There's some people on here, we could put police tape up and they would come in.
Yeah. That's
we could put up yellow tape and say, do not cross. And, you know, Sam Gingerella would hack through it to come in and bother me.
Westbound 84, stop and go from the East Hartford side of the Bulkley Bridge out to 44 Prospect, Oakland, West Hartford, taking a look at an accident on the median at 44. Eastbound.
They built this whole neighborhood out of wood, out of wood. I guess I'll still be around when they burn, burn it down. I will be standing around when they burn it down. Even though you feel my video.
And joining us now is author Franz Linz. Franz Linz was originally known for a book called Lindstrom Heroes, which is about his very eccentric uncles, and was made into a major motion picture. And he's now got a book called Ghostly Men, which is about the Collier brothers. And I, for some reason or other, I'm 50 years old, but I guess I must be like really 80 years old, because I'm one of the few people who, I still know who the Collier brothers are. And whenever my apartment gets messy, I say to myself, this looks like the Collier brothers live here. And nobody knows what I'm talking about. But Franz Linz does, and he's going to talk a little bit about this right now. He's going to be at the Connecticut Historical Society Museum tomorrow night, January 11th, from 7 to 8 p.m., speaking about the Collier brothers. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty good. I think we even sort of know each other. Are you like Jerry Renner's son-in-law or something like that?
That's what I'm mostly known as.
Yeah, actually, that's what I thought. It's not here in the press materials, oddly enough. But explain to people who the Collier brothers were.
Well, they're these two, obviously they're brothers,
mm-hmm.
two guys who, they were sons of an opera singer and some mother, and a Manhattan gynecologist born around the turn of the century, that being the turn of the 20th century. And they lived in Gramercy Park, and in 1909 they moved to Harlem when it was a white suburb of Manhattan. And so in those days it was a very fashionable place with brownstones, and over the next 30 years, as all the whites moved out, it became a black slum, and they barricaded themselves into their brownstone. Homer, the older one, was a concert pianist. Homer, the older one, was an admiralty lawyer,
mm-hmm.
Who'd worked down on Wall Street, and his brother, Langley, was a concert pianist who played at Carnegie Hall, and they both sort of gave up on their professional lives and just became these scavengering brothers.
They became hoarders. I mean, we all have go through periods where we don't like to throw things away, or most of us do. But they took this to an extreme, just in terms of just levels of clutter and I mean, can you give us sort of a sense of the weirdness of the stuff that they had, or the amounts of normal stuff?
Well, yeah, it was in the end, it was 180 tons of stuff that was carted out of their brownstone. I mean, they had collected, literally tens of thousands of tons of newspapers from the early 20s, and just kind of stuffed and barricaded themselves in, and they just made tunnels of newspapers
mm-hmm.
that they would go through, and they're all booby trapped, so that if you went in, the huge cinder blocks would fall on your head. And it was not the most welcoming place mm-hmm. on earth. And so they stay there, and eventually in the early 30s, Homer had rheumatism, and he couldn't move. He was essentially paralyzed for the last 10 or so years of his life. And his brother, who Langley became his brother's keeper, and he would go out at night and scavenge through the trash, even though they had a lot of money, squirreled away, they wouldn't spend any.
And in 47, when Homer died, they had to lower his body out by a rope, right?
Yeah, through, you know, in a body bag, a canvas body bag, like old laundry. And
was that because he couldn't move, or also because there was just no way to thread through the main?
Well, he was definitely dead.
Yeah.
He was not moving in that sack. It was like a cocoon. But they were called the Ghosty Men, which is a title of the book, obviously, and by the kids in the neighborhood, because they only came out at night. And word had spread through Harlem that these guys who were rumored to have gold buried under their floorboards had died, and the police broke in. It took 3 hours just to get through the front door, and eventually they found Homer completely emaciated on the second floor, next to shriveled apples and things, and, you know, they had 9 grand pianos and a Model T that they had reassembled in their basement, and grandfather clocks, just things in various states of entropy, and so they looked around and tried to find Langley, who would, you know, had been keeping his brother all these years, and no one could. So there was basically a worldwide search for weeks that was occupied the front page of all the New York dailies. There had been 12 New York dailies that just sort of hungered for this story, and it was on the front page every day. And that was the search of 47, finding Langley Collier, who was cited all over the world. Probably not all over the world. In fact, all the sightings turned out to be erroneous.
He was the eldest of his deck. The your Uncle Arthur was, of course, not as extreme a version of this, but I gathered that one of the inspirations for tackling this subject matter was, yeah, I mean, one of your uncles was a hoarder, right?
Yeah, he still is. Actually, in April, he's going to be 90, and I had to kind of deaccession his collection. He lived in the Bronx for a while, and he had a collie-like hoard, and actually, they were his inspiration, because he used to live in Harlem, and a few blocks from then, he walked by the place and gaze up in wonder and appreciation, and I think that took a lot of talent to collect that much junk.
We all need heroes, I guess.
Yes. In Brooklyn now, and these. All he collects really is neckties, and at one point my favorite thing he collected, well, it was mostly newspapers, but favorite thing was parking tickets. He would go to see them on the window of the cars and just pluck them off. And he always wondered why people left them on their windshield. He never quite explained to them the reasoning behind that.
And was he the one that, did Maury Chaykin play him in the movie? Is that...
In Unstrung Heroes, and then they met on the set, and they went scavenging together looking for pennies.
Yeah, Maury seemed like maybe he would gravitate towards that role naturally. Well, listen, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. It's tomorrow night at the Connecticut Historical Society, and it's 7 o'clock. Franz Liszt will be there. I would imagine you'll be signing copies of Ghosty Men.
I'll sign anything, actually.
All right. You'll still sign your parking tickets. Thanks very much for being with us.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
In New Britain, Parks and Recreation closed, no after-school activities. Parking ban in Wallingford in effect at 7 p.m. Women's self-lecture series canceled at Johnson Memorial Hospital, Stafford Springs. And New Britain General evening classes canceled.
Junan Shin Martial Arts Academy, closed. Renee School of Dance in Yalesville is closed. And Madeline Roberts Post number 574, Incorporated in Plainville, is closed. Bobby?
Cutbacks. In this time of journalism, cutbacks. Recommitted itself to the coverage of pets and other kind of art.
Oh, do we have more?
We have more, yeah.
Oh, great.
Unbelievably detailed. You know, I mean, let me just say something about the Ansonia chicken story, which is about these people whose chickens were going to be taken away.
Oh,
people
no.
who've been offered the opportunity to come on this show and did not.
Twice.
So my feeling is, go ahead, take their chickens away. They're not going to cooperate any better than that. But no, I mean... Although it was an interesting story, I thought it was misreported in the sense that, for example, the rooster was named Emily, but no explanation has ever been given.
Mm-hmm.
Did Emily just, you know, suddenly have kind of a Middlesex kind of moment where she realized she didn't want to be a rooster anymore? Did she have sexual? Did she have gender reassignment surgery, or was it just one of these things where they thought it was a girl and it grew up and?
Would seem rather expensive for a chicken, yeah. Wouldn't it?
Pretty soon it was chasing all the other girls around, and they realized it wasn't a Melissa Etheridge fan. It was, you know, it was a rooster. All right, here we go. Well, you know what? I'm going to talk about the Pope because I'm mad at the Pope. What up with the Pope?
That's a nice shirt, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. What up with the Pope? If I could say one more other incendiary thing, or do you want to talk to Bob?
Oh, I think the incendiary thing would be a priority.
Okay, this has nothing to do with the Pope. Washington, D.C. official said yesterday that the Bush administration is refusing reimburse the District of Columbia for most of the costs associated with next week's ridiculous inauguration, breaking with the precedent and forcing the city to divert another $11.9 million from homeland security projects. You know, Jack Bauer would never stand for this. He wasn't busy out in the field right now. Federal officials have told the district that it should cover the expenses by using some of the 240... This is what the federal officials are telling the District of Columbia. Cover the expenses by using some of the $240 million in federal Homeland Security grants it's received in the past 3 years. Money awarded to the city because it is among the places at the highest risk of a terrorist attack. So what are they supposed to do? Like, you know, stage a roundup Al-Qaeda ball or something, you know, and charge it off to both accounts? You know, I don't get that. I mean, and also, it's further proof that these numbskulls in the Bush administration have never taken this Homeland Security stuff seriously. They appoint complete reprobates like Bernard Carrick. I assume this new guy must have the most boring life on earth. He must have like an even more boring life than Lieberman. But I mean, you know, that's how seriously they took this. They didn't even bother to find out that Bernard Carrick was Satan incarnate. And then their big idea is use your Homeland Security money to pay for our inauguration, our self-aggrandizing inauguration.
Hi, it's Ray Dunaway.
I'm Diane Smith.
Well, Diane, it'll be Wednesday morning. News, weather, traffic, sports.
Bruce and Colin shall return.
You still like me?
Yeah, I like you.
You like me?
I think I'd personally like you. I mean, your politics is revolting.
No, that's true, but we could probably enjoy other activities, don't you think?
Why don't you go dancing?
Would you like to go out?
No,
not dancing with me, but I mean,
no,
you know, would you like to go?
I don't do that socializing. Baloney.
Yeah, you want to go?
Well, you could be a producer here, then.
Yes, right.
I wouldn't want that.
We could just go to Bernie's and look at some of the new appliances.
Well,
that can be a fun activity.
You should figure that out for yourself.
All right.
You should be able to.
Bank North Above and Beyond Radio, take one, rolling.
It's Ray Bork
and Troy Brown for Bank North.
We don't know. I don't need to belabor this either. And Peter Shapiro was accusing me of being petty and peevish about this today, but. I am petty and peevish about this. But let me just say this. You know, yesterday, the rail administration called us up and they said, would you like to have Rachelle Rubin on? And so, to talk about the ethics thing.
Yes.
And so we said, sure. And then with no warning whatsoever, they called up and they said, well, it's going to be Rachelle Rubin and Dennis Shane. And they're going to be on a speakerphone and it's going to sound like the drive-thru at Arby's. But that's what it did sound like. And so I was unhappy about this. Well, I pick up the paper today to start reading, and I find out what's really going on, which is that Don Williams and Marty Looney, the two Senate Democratic leaders, had announced that they were going to put their ethics program out. So when that announcement went out, the rail people kicked it into high gear and decided they would put their ethics proposal out before Williams and Looney did, which is why they were rushing Rachelle Rubin onto our show. Now, here I'm extrapolating, here I'm guessing, but since Rachelle Rubin doesn't like me very much, I'm guessing she was going, no, I'm not going on this show. No, you could pay me to go on this show. I hate him. And stuff like
that. Yeah, that's probably what happened.
And so at one point, Dennis goes, well, okay, well, what if I go on too? You know, we can talk in the speakerphone, you know, and that's what happened. And so because they were in such a rush to scoop and to exceed and to beat, after Jody Rell had announced it in her previous thing, it doesn't matter who gets the credit. That's what she said in her speech. It doesn't matter who gets the credit. But I guess her staff thinks it is important who gets the credit, and they want to be the first one out there with the next ethics proposal. So they rush that thing on, and they rush poor Rachelle Rubin, who doesn't even want to go on the show anyway. I'm guessing about that. But, you know, and then as a result, we wind up with this horrific, you know, 7 minutes of garbled, I mean, it sounds like some battlefield transmission. It sounds like, you know, we're hailing a Romulan warbird and Lieutenant Uhuru can't lock on their signal.
It was a little weak.
Yeah. And that's why that happened, because they were greedy. They were greedy, and they were attention-seeking, and they were credit-grasping.
Well, they got the credit, didn't
like
they?
Like an Aesop's fable.
They got
yes,
the attention.
But on the other hand, I turned against them.
Well,
we weren't even going to put Don Williams on. And I said, all right, then Don Williams can come on, and you know what? His ethics proposal is automatically better than theirs because I'm mad at them. That's how petty I am. So I'm very... Well, at least it's helpful to read the paper in the morning and at least find out why you were getting screwed. And now I understand this. And I feel better about that anyway.
You should read these like Dick Robinson would.
That's right.
New Milton.
Weatherfield Public School Authority.
New Milford Public Schools, all activities are canceled. Old Saybrook Schools, all athletic events are canceled. Athletic events canceled in Plymouth Public Schools, Regional District 10. No after-school activities, Region District Congregational, B'nai Shalom, Newington. All events are canceled. Faith Tabernacle services canceled. Meetings canceled at Full Gospel Interdenominational Church. Sacred Heart Religious Ed in Southbury Religious School is canceled. And St. Anthony's Parish, Bristol Religious School is canceled.
All right, this is Dickie Robinson. All meetings are canceled at St. Bartholomew Church in Manchester, St. George Greek Orthodox in Hartford. No religious school at St. James Parish in Manchester. No meetings at St. Jerome in New Britain. And St. John Religious Education in Watertown is closed. And the following religious schools are also closed. St. Mary Church in Unionville, St. Mary Church in Coventry
of Hartford. Parking ban in effect at 10 p.m. until 4 p.m. tomorrow.
What level?
It doesn't say. It just says parking ban in effect.
Yo, what's up with your hoopty?
East, that's a level 2. Yeah. Level 2 parking ban. Okay. And what a level 2 parking ban would be, never mind.
Yeah.
East Hartford Parks and Recreation activities canceled. Farmington Community
Memorial Hospital in Stafford Springs has that women's lecture series canceled. New Britain General Hospital, no evening classes. Nanshin Martial Arts Academy. Hey! Closed. Renee's School of Dance in Yaleville is closed. And Studio of Dance in Bloomfield is closed. And so is the Greater Hartford Dance Academy and Madeline. Lots of other unkind things I'd like to say. And we
could well, you're on a roll. You might as well.
Well, first of all, what I mentioned, it's now official that Howard Dean is running for the chairmanship of the Democratic Party.
Good. I hope he gets
rumored.
It.
He wrote in a letter to members of the Democratic National Committee, the Democratic Party needs vibrant, forward-thinking, long-term presence in every single state. We must be willing to contest every race at every level. We can only win if we show up. He actually had that in the letter.
I think that,
I was acting it out a little bit, but apparently he can't stop doing that. Then...
Well, at least he has some enthusiasm. You have to give him credit for that.
Hey, when is Unfunny Dan Gersten on? Is he on, like, next half hour? 5:40, okay. They're coming up at 5:40. Unfunny Dan Gersten.
5:40?
5:40, yeah. We still have a show by that time. And, okay, here's the thing.
You honestly think he's going to get on at 5:40?
At 5:40.
48.
He may have to read a few cancellations if he wants to be on. All right. I just wanted to mention this because every year or so, I don't really know how often they do it, but it seems to me they do it every year. The Hartford Current editorial page on Sunday, they put out this special supplement of the commentary sections, who we are and what we do. And it's like, you know, pictures of them and, you know, and I don't know. It's like the people who work at D'Angelo's putting this out. I mean, I don't want to know who they are and what they do. I just want my freaking sandwich, you know. And so, but they do this every year. And it's like, who cares? Who cares who you are?
Oh, I think that some people do.
Nobody
probably.
Gets, barely anybody reads editorials. I mean, really, you know, the number of people with a pulse who even read editorials.
You find that the people want to know the behind the scenes? No?
No, I mean, not about that. No, I don't think so. And if so, they could do it like once every 10 years, which is about how often they have turnover on that staff anyway. You know, they don't do it every year. Say, well, here's who we are, and here's how we write our editorials, and... Here's what we do when cobwebs started growing on us, and I mean, you know, I know a lot of these
there
people.
There seems to be a bit of hostility.
So anyway, this woman
that's developed.
This woman who I wanted to say thank you, Christine Doyle, whoever you are, of West Hartford. She writes this letter to the editor today about how they had a grammatical error, and actually it was in a Bob Engelhart cartoon. And she writes,
she's writing in because they had an error in a cartoon.
Well, then she says, she mentions that, and then she just says, now I understand. The editors were all too busy creating a whole section of self-aggrandizing drivel complete with a half-page photo of themselves and individual photos as well to substitute for Sunday commentary. You know, and it really is true. It's like when Robert Thorson wrote that column about what it's like to have a column. Just do your jobs. We don't care how you do your jobs. Just find something to write about, to have an opinion about it, and write about it. We don't care. I mean, nobody cares. I mean, you think Wolf Blitzer goes out there and says, I'd like to show you my office, and this is some pictures of my family.
It sounds like something.
Sorry, you know, they don't, just read the damn news.
Sounds like something Bobby would do.
Yeah, it is. Exactly.
It's, you know, the usual, you know, here's my bulletin board, yeah, and here over here's my picture, yeah, of, you know, Bob Hoggins.
Here, I got to be, you got to come out to the apartment.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Yeah, it's just like.
Poker tonight.
I mean, just do your jobs. We don't care who you are. I mean, we wanted to know, people to know who you were, you wouldn't have written editorials anyway.
Can I just ask something? Have you been having, there's been something eating at you, or?
Not sleeping
Wow, man, right. I don't know what it is, but today, usually, I mean, there are parts of every show.
I said about this whole speakerphone incident yesterday.
Well, that must be it.
Preying on my mind.
Steam coming out of you all day here.
I'm upset about all this. I spent today. I'm supposed to mention this anyway, but I have a column in Northeast Magazine.
Really? You never mentioned that.
So this week I'm writing about all these ethics proposals, and basically what I'm saying is that it's what I said yesterday when I got all mad, which is that since they don't enforce the existing laws, what difference does it make if they pass new ones?
But it doesn't going to sound very good, is it?
I mean, why don't they try enforcing the laws that they have? You know, this state is like freaking Casablanca or something.
Yeah, but how
many? Everybody just does whatever they want to do, and every once in a while, you know, somebody shows up and says, you're all breaking the law, and they say they're all shocked.
Yeah, but how's that going to, it's not going to sound very good. You know, it sounds much more, it sounds bigger.
I know, we're going to pass a whole bunch of new laws.
Yeah, sounds bigger and more impressive if you say you're going to take on the problem, you know.
I mean, most of the ethics laws they have are really good. Although, let me just say another thing, which is they should either get rid of the Ethics Commission or really give it something to do, because right now it's a silly thing. It's silly, and it doesn't have, it's like your mother or something. I mean, I think that's the only thing that they're allowed to do is ground politicians. That's like the main penalty they can say. You're grounded. You can't go to any more fundraisers.
Town of Wallingford, parking ban in effect at 7. Parking ban in effect until tomorrow morning in West Hartford. Women's lecture, a self-lecture series, is canceled at Johnson Memorial Hospital, Stafford Springs. New Britain General, evening classes canceled. Closed, Estelle Jones School of Dance. Junan Shin
Martial. You know what? Say it. You just say it.
Junan Shin Martial Arts Academy.
Hey!
Closed. And Renee School
What's of the big problem with that?
Renee.
Just canceled.
School
Focus all your energy on canceled.
All right. That's it.
Whoops. No, I lost weight when I got there.
You got more?
Studio of Dance in Bloomfield is closed. All right. It doesn't make any difference. Our numbers are 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, *WTIC. I'm addicted to 24, but I have to say, it was starting to get kind of stupid last night. And I just want to mention one thing, because there was at one point, this is when it gets stupid. Jack Bauer is tailing a terrorist, but he needs satellite coverage so it can really tail them, but they can't get the satellite coverage ready. And so the terrorist goes into like a convenience store, goes into like a gas station mini mart or something.
Yeah.
I would have a Muslim Slim Jim. And so Jack, he's trying to figure out how he can stall the guy until he gets the satellite coverage up. So they reposition a satellite so he can tail the guy.
Yeah.
And he's not supposed to be doing this anyway, and he's got somebody helping him, and it's all this sort of, you know, he's a rogue agent and all this stuff. And so he decides that the only way he can do this is to put a stocking mask on and hold up the, you know, mini mark. And then he makes them all go into the, like, the freezer area and stuff like that. And that's how he's going to hold up the terrorist. Then, like, all these hilarious complications ensue. And it turns out, I mean, it's increasingly clear that Jack Bauer is the most overtrained gas station stick-up guy ever. Like, everything that happens, he's completely ready for. The cop shows up, and he knows how to deal with that. And, I mean, everything happens. So eventually the terrorist looks at him and goes, "Who are you?" I mean, there's like $1,800 in the safe. This guy has, like, you know, enough weapons training to take down a small country single-handedly. So it was getting a little stupid. Our numbers anyway, 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, star WTIC. Coming up, sports with the somewhat anxious Kevin Nathan, and then later on.
Why would he be anxious?
I don't know. He always seems a little nervous when he's talking to us. Like we're going to lead him into some dicey, problematic area, which of course
usually happens.
And then the extremely unfunny Dan Gersten will be on later to talk about the future of the Democratic Party. And great
timing. I really
wish
you'd tell that parrot joke.
No, the parrot joke is so
well,
not funny.
Yeah, but you never, ever gave anybody else the opportunity to make that judgment.
Actually, even though Lieberman didn't get the Homeland Security job, the Homeland Security Department has taken over that parrot joke, and they feel it is a threat to the American sense of humor. If people tell that joke, the terrorists will have won.
Uh-huh.
It's that unfunny. It actually, not only does it not make you laugh, it actually sort of ebbs out, leaches out some of your actual sense of humor. You know, somebody was calling up before, this is a little bit more serious, when we were talking about, was Paul, I think, very early in the show. And I wasn't really paying any attention to what he was saying, because I so rarely do. But he was, I think, saying something that was germane, which is that, well, we're talking about the Pope, and why, and the question with which I began the show today is, what up?
Bruce and Colin shall return.
And it is true, by the way, that the Pope is in the Vatican right now, celebrating his 25th anniversary Mass. And they do have Orleans out there doing still the one. And you're still the Pope who spreads the light. You're still the Pope who looks great and wide. We're still having hope, and you're still the Pope. You are.
Please.
I'll stop.
It's that c'est vraiment le défaut que je grabbe.
Well, Randy Johnson is certainly getting off on the right foot in New York City. He's already had an altercation with a person named Vinny. It's time for Sports Atois with the very French sports discussion segment of Monsieur Kevin Nathan, Monsieur Bruce Stevens, and myself, Louis Gascon de la Mer. Well, so that tended to make us think these were actually taxpayer-funded campaign commercials, which further increased
the image.
Industry, depending on who gets elected. So I'm hanging up on it. And then the other thing that I was thinking, I'm sort of serious about this. That while Governor Rowland was governor, he used to do all these freaking commercials about tourism and what a great place it is, Connecticut is to visit, which would then be shown in Connecticut, where we already were, as opposed to...
Right.
So that tended to make us think these were actually taxpayer-funded campaign commercials, which further increased...
If you were of cynical nature.
Apply those kinds of dark motivations to John Rowland. And there's taxpayer-funded campaign commercials. Well, I mean, and I noticed that Jody Ralph is continuing. She doesn't do tourism ones. She does stuff about, like, you know, don't run with scissors.
Yeah, drive safely.
Wait an hour after you
don't drive
eat
drunk.
Before going swimming, and stuff like that. But, I mean, you know, once again, I would make a law, if I'm serious, I would make a law saying you can't do that within 20 months of an election, because that's basically a taxpayer-funded campaign commercial. It increases, I mean, all this other campaign finance reform is meant to decrease the advantage of the incumbent, and I think that's another thing they could do. I mean, in fairness to Governor Rowland, Governor Reich Weicker used to run these public service announcements where he would just come on and say, this is Governor Weicker. Hey, shut up! But see, those, I don't think those necessarily furthered his political prospects as much. They were just a way of getting that off his chest.
Yeah.
And so anyway.
I think he'd be kind of refreshing right now.
Governor Weicker's always refreshing.
Yeah.
We always enjoy. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, you know, I mean, that's why he would get elected over and over again. The only person who ever beat him was Lieberman. How about that? All right, we got to go now. We want to thank everybody who helped out with today's show, especially Big Game James, who manned our storm center and didn't screw anything up too bad.
Key words there, too bad.
The miracle at Lake Placid right there.
Yep.
And, of course, our very fine producer, Mr. Bobby Sherwood.